Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Good morning. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As we begin today, my prayer is that the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ would encourage and strengthen you today. And I'd like to thank a sponsor today. Today, I'd like to thank this show's sponsor, Sandy Davidson, who wishes to salute Ottawa Christian Counseling, a local registered charity that provides professional therapy to assist people in effectively managing life's challenges. Ottawa Christian Counseling Ottawa is a ministry here in town and one that really does provide a wonderful service to many people. So thank you, Andy. Thank you, Sandy Davidson, for that. Today, as we approach the Christmas season, I'd like to speak to you on the theme of Jesus Christ, who was born to be our King. And I'd like to share with you a scripture from the book of Colossians, which speaks about the supremacy of Christ and the glory of Christ, who was born on Christmas. Colossians 1, verses 15 to 23 reads, "Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority. All things were created by him and for him. And he is the head of the body. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on heaven or things on earth, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven and of which I, Paul, have become a servant." These words from Paul's letters to the Colossians speak to us today about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to take a look at what it means for Jesus to have come into the world, to be its Savior and to be its King. And we're going to look at that in some detail in a few moments. But I'd like you to listen to this song with me, a song written by Carolyn Ahrens called "Come and See," which carries the tone of joy and celebration at the birth of the newborn King.
Such good news. The dream is not a dream. star, it will light our way. Hear the song, hurry to the place. If his mama says that it's alright, we can see the face of God tonight. Come and see, he is laying in the straw. He's a new baby boy who's the hope of us all. Come and hear, it's a simple, sweet and strange. It's the great love of God in the cry of a babe. It's the great love of God in the cry of a babe.
I want to emphasize today that Jesus Christ was born the King. He was born the Son of God. He was not, he did not become or earn those titles later on. He has always been the Son of the living God from all eternity before creation, for he is a part of the Godhead and fully God. And as God is fully invested with the right to rule, the right to be King. And we see that in the story of the birth narratives in both the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew. We see it spoken of fully in John's Gospel. But in Matthew, we have the story of some magi from the East, what we call wise men, who traveled from afar, following signs they saw in the heavens that led them to believe that a king was being born in Bethlehem. In Israel. They didn't know about Bethlehem until later. In fact, the stars are really not useful guides most of the time, but somehow God, by his grace, guided these wise men into Israel at the right time. And when they arrived in Jerusalem, they found that the king, the descendant of David, was to be born in the city of David, Bethlehem, and that's where they went looking for this child. And the star that had led them that far led them to the stable, or the room where they found Jesus. And there's a hymn. I know that you've heard the carol in your Christmas celebrations, "We Three Kings of Orient Are," and it's a song about the wise men coming to see Jesus. And each gift that the wise men brings is revealed to have a symbolic meaning. For the wise men brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, as Matthew describes, and each of those relate to one of the functions of Jesus. The frankincense is the priestly gift the gift that of an incense that was used in the temple to mark the presence of God in the temple, to symbolize the ever-present glory of God. And the myrrh is the gift that marks Jesus as a sacrifice, the one true sacrifice, God giving himself to save his people. For myrrh was a burial spice, something that was used to cover the scent of decay when a body was being buried. And gold is that gift that represents his kingship. The hymn says it this way, "Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again." For the wise men recognized that this one who was born in Bethlehem was born to be king. I'm pretty sure that when they started looking for this king, they weren't clear in their minds what kind of a king they were welcoming into the world. For they thought that it would be born in Jerusalem where King Herod lived, and that it would be a child of King Herod's, that it would be someone who was going to carry on the earthly reign of political power. But they were redirected to Bethlehem, and by the time they arrived there, they recognize that this king is something different. They bow and worship him as they offer these gifts. They are aware that this child is no ordinary king, that this child is, in fact, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Even Herod mistook Jesus' kingship even as he recognized it. He recognized that anybody claiming to be king seemed to him to be a threat to his own kingship. And so he was the one who searched for the child to kill him and sought to destroy this threat to his power. Herod may have been wrong about Jesus being a threat to his earthly reign, but he was right in recognizing that the claim that was being made about Jesus to be king was a threat to his autonomy, was a threat to his independence, because Jesus is King of Kings. Even Herod, even Caesar, even the powerful people of today must in the end bow their knee to Jesus, for he is king. The recognition of Jesus beginning life with an inheritance ahead of him, with a reality of his kingship, even though he was but a child who couldn't speak, he was still worthy of worship, for he was God incarnate, even then. And even though he was a child who had no scepter, he was, in fact, God's threat to the powers and authorities of this world, God's message that all things would come under his reign. And Jesus was a wise king from the earliest age. It's sometimes difficult for people to take orders from a child king, from someone who comes into their inheritance early in life. It's happened through the ages when monarchies were more part of the way that the countries were run. And sometimes a child king could be petulant and silly and have to be governed by regents and that sort of thing. But Jesus shows that he has a wisdom that goes far beyond his years, not because he was born with any special advantage, for he was fully human as we are human. But he, from the earliest age, listened to his Father in heaven. He hearkened to the word of God and studied it, and prayed and heard from his Father and allowed his Father to direct his every step and his every word. Even at the age of 12, when he's just old enough for a bar mitzvah, he goes into the temple and begins speaking and debating with the teachers of the law there. And they find that this precocious young man has wisdom so far beyond his years that they're astonished. At that time, this wisdom doesn't seem a threat to them, for it's just a 12-year-old. But later, as this man of God speaks the truth undiluted and undisturbed from the original words of the Father, these people find that their own authority and their own wisdom is called into question, and they see that there can only be one king, that one Lord must be Lord of all. Many people rejected Jesus because he was that one Lord. They didn't want him to be that one Lord. They wanted to be Lord of their own lives. But Jesus asserts his Lordship nevertheless and calls us to recognize him as King. We're going to take a look at this theme a little bit more as this broadcast continues. But listen to this quiet hymn of celebration, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly, sung by the Tewkesbury Abbey Choir. And it speaks of Jesus' kingship in a very quiet and reverent way. When we come into the Christmas season, it's important for us to recognize that the Christmas is a time of worship and adoration and a time of submitting our lives to the kingship of Jesus. It's so wonderful to enjoy some of the tender and beautiful moments of Christmas, to think about how cute the baby is, how tender and gentle the scene is of the mother holding this little child. The manger and the stable full of animals, it seems cozy and warm, and so it is. It was probably also difficult, and we can remember that Jesus knew difficulty in his lifetime as well. But to simply adore the little baby Jesus as cute and cuddly and miss the call that he makes to receive him as King, that would be a terrible mistake. That would be a terrible loss for us. For Jesus is King on every ground. He is your Creator. You have life because Jesus allowed you to come into being. Jesus made the universe and all the wonders in it. He spread the stars across the 15 billion light years that they fill. And he created this earth and made it suitable for us. He has given us every breath we breathe, every beat of our heart. He has given us food and shelter and help in times of need. He has protected us in a fallen world. He has guarded us and guided us, and he has been our provider through all these things. Jesus has been our friend when we were alone. Even in troubled times, his rod and staff have comforted us. He has guided us and protected us. We acknowledge him as King because of all that he has done for us and all that he will do for us. We acknowledge him as King because he is all-wise. He knows all things. And it's so very important that we understand that Jesus is the truth, that his word is authority, that when we think we know better than Jesus, we need to humble ourselves and listen again to his voice. Be very careful to understand what he is saying and to do it. Jesus makes the distinction, in fact, between the wise man and the foolish man when he says that the wise man is the one who hears his words and practices them, whereas the foolish man hears his words and does nothing about them. So we have this call of Jesus to hear him, to submit to him, to put him and his wisdom ahead of us and our foolishness. Jesus is also all-powerful, and that's of great comfort to us when we find ourselves in times of trouble, when we understand that all of history is in his hands, and the situations which we find so difficult are well within his capability of either extracting us from those situations or sustaining us through them. Even death itself has become a thing without sting for the Christian because Jesus has overcome sin and death, so that as an all-powerful king, he is a comfort to us. But for those who are careless about life and careless about the way they should walk, and who think little of disregarding wisdom and great gratitude, the all-powerful nature of Jesus is also something that ought to stir us to a godly fear, that he, in fact, is the judge of all things, that he is the one who will determine our eternal destiny, that if we even have little conscience for the goodness of Jesus' teachings, we ought to be moved by the truth that he is the one who will separate the sheep from the goats, that his authority is ultimate, and all our resistance will not change a thing about the truth of who he is. But with all these characteristics of Jesus, even in his warnings, he is expressing the truth about his kingship and his divine nature that is above all other truths, that Jesus Christ is love. Jesus Christ loves you and loves all people. And as a king, he calls them into his kingdom in order to give life and that abundantly. He directs us in our ways not to ruin our lives, but to enrich them. He uses us, yes, for the good of others, not only for our own benefit, but he allows our lives to have a significant and practical impact on the lives of those in need and those suffering through difficult times. We are, under the kingship of God, useful and productive and fulfilled in all that we can do. For this is to be under the King of Kings and to be subject to the Lord of Lords. So this Christmas, I encourage you to enjoy the beautiful hymns and to love the tender moments and to remember that the King of Kings is calling you to offer your life, to bow your head to him and to receive him as Lord and Savior so that you can enjoy the great blessing of his lordship in your life, of his direction and his love, and that you also may be the gift that God receives this Christmas, that Jesus is able to receive you as his child, as his best friend, and as his brother. And let's remember this as we pray together. Almighty God, receive us to yourself and humble us that we might submit to your glorious reign and do the good things that you call us to do and live under your rule, for you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we thank you for this. We pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. And as we close the broadcast today, I do want to thank again this morning's sponsor, Sandy Davidson, and thank you for listening today. I pray that God will bless you in every way. And now as we go out, would you listen to this tender song about Jesus' incarnation, Away in a Manger, sung by the Guelph Children's Choir from the album A Noteworthy Christmas. God bless you this Christmas.
Away in a manger, no grief or bad, the little child Jesus.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations which we depend on to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals, companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.